Sure, it's been good to be here tonight. Feel the Lord has been with us in our song service and in the thoughts that we've had together and the good conversations, the greetings of one another. Often think about the words of Jesus, and as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me. It's been a real privilege just to greet you tonight and welcome you here and just to have fellowship in the Lord. In this old troubled world, it's a great thing to have friends. And the friends that are brothers and sisters in Christ are really true friends, because our relationship and our kinship is in our Savior, our elder brother. We have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same brother, elder brother. And we have the same Spirit of God that dwells in our hearts, like precious faith. And that's a great, great fellowship in a world that's certainly an untoward generation that does not know the things of God without Him. I've been struggling as of late, and as I stand before the Lord's people, it seems that at times I love to be able to sit and listen to the preaching and hear it and feed on it and get lifted up and rejoice in it, but seems like my times before the Lord's people, just in a way of confession, I've just been praying that God would stir me more, feel my heart more. And, you know, I want to feel it. You know, I sometimes have had brethren encourage me that they got a lot out of it and they were nourished and fed by it. But seems like it's been some difficult times for me. As of late, just being able to have clarity in thought. Now, I won't say that's all the time, because there's sometimes I don't seem like I have to search for a word, and the Lord just supplies it. And I love those times, I'll be honest with you. There's nothing I'd rather do than stand before God's people and just have the Lord fill you in such a way that you're able to share the truth as it is in Christ, and you feel the power of Almighty God with you. And there's really nothing in this world like that. But also, oftentimes, I believe it's with, I've talked to many other ministers and others who talk with many other ministers. I think this went off, brother. That had an effort in their preaching and a labor in their preaching. Now, there's good, I think there's a benefit in that too. For number one, it keeps you looking, right? You don't take it for granted. You come praying. And I want you to be praying tonight. I want you to pray the Lord would bless me. The Lord would bless us. And not for my benefit or for your benefit per se, but that His name would be honored and His name would be glorified. And that we wouldn't go through this time and waste it, but that we would spend it where it ought to be, worshiping the Lord and having our focus on Him. Now, I didn't say all that to make you feel sorry for me or anything else. I just want you to pray. I don't want you to play about it. I want you to beg God that He would bless us with liberty to be able to have a tongue of utterance to feed those that have gathered here. Because what we have to talk about is the most important subject on the face of the earth. It's the Lord and what He has done for His people. And we want to say it with as much clarity and with much power as the Lord would give us, and as much humility as He would give us, in a way that would be ultimately to His praise and His honor and to His glory. And with all that said, you pray for me. We'll look at the portion of Scripture. I'd like to read to you tonight from the book of 1 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, like to turn with me, I'd like to read from chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, and we begin right at verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is the writing of the Apostle Paul, as you know, to the young preacher Timothy, as he wrote to him in love and in direction, how to walk as a young minister. And not only that, but it's God's Word written to us tonight, part of the Word of God. It's written to the man of God that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And it's part of the Word that we are to preach. So we're to preach the Word. We're to be instant in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Here in verse 12 of chapter 1, Paul is testifying of the work of Almighty God in his life to the young preacher Timothy. And as we read it tonight, let us remember how good the Lord has indeed been to us. And the same Lord that moved in the life of Saul of Tarsus, making him the Apostle Paul, is the same Lord that has moved in our hearts, we trust tonight, that has allowed us to see and understand the things spiritually that we see and understand. He says this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And I hope all of us can say with that passage of Scripture a hearty amen in our hearts. That's the truth. That's the truth of God's Word. Paul here says, and where I read in your hearing, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." We could just stop right there and spend the rest of the time on that little statement from the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." I think tonight we all have Christ Jesus our Lord to thank, don't you? I believe we have every reason to be here tonight. Some people wonder why you need to go to church. Well, there are many reasons to go to church. But one very important reason we ought to go to church is because it's the place the Lord set aside for us to come to thank Him. We thank Him in our singing. We thank Him in our prayers. We approach Him with thanksgiving. We thank Him in our preaching. We thank Him in our lives, even as we live, walking in a way to honor and glorify Him. If we are being faithful as a little child of God, our life ought to be one of thanksgiving. We ought to get up in the morning and thank the Lord. We ought to go through the day and thank the Lord. And we certainly ought to go to bed at night and thank the Lord. The Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The Lord who's called us out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. The Lord who has brought us from a state of death and sin, which we were in by nature, to a state of life in Christ. Not just a life for here, but a life eternal. Life that begins here is an eternal life that will never end. Because of Him and what He's done for us, our life is really worth living. You know, our life really wouldn't be worth living if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our existence in this world would have no meaning. Our being on the planet would be just a vain, no matter how high, no matter how rich we became, no matter where we were in the positions of life, no matter how many people thought we were somebody big or important, without the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, it's all vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. But I tell you tonight, I have found, and I believe you have found in this world, that which is not vanity, but that which is true riches, true blessings, true joy, true rest, and true peace. And it's all come because of Jesus Christ. It's all come to us because of what the Lord did for us, the Father, in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And because of Jesus Christ willingly come for His people and doing for us at Calvary what we could not do for ourselves, paying a sin debt for us, washing us in His own precious blood and bringing us into fellowship with Him, so that when you and I get in trouble in this world, we have one we can call on. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have one to serve in this world, to live for, that one day we believe we're going to see face to face in heaven. And it's wonderful to be able to have fellowship with Him here. Though we see through a glass darkly, one day we'll see Him face to face. It's so wonderful to get up each day and be able to have communion with Him and fellowship with Him as our Lord. Tonight, what I need in the pulpit is fellowship with Him. And what you need in the pew is fellowship with Him. And if we can stir your mind up by way of remembrance, as the Apostle Paul said, just to simply have each one of us tonight just stop and pause. We get so busy sometimes. We get so full of everything sometimes. Sometimes we're so busy complaining we don't have time to thank Him. And just remember how good the Lord has been to each and every one of us. We have every reason tonight to be here and say, thank you. Thank Thee, O Heavenly Father. Thank you for being a Savior. Thank you for being sovereign. Thank you for being a mighty God. Thank you for creating the heavens and the earth. Thank you for making me. Thank you for making my mama and my daddy. Thank you for bringing me into this world. Thank you for watching over me down through the troubles and the heartaches. Even as we walk sometimes very similar to a persecuting Saul, for not just wiping us off on the face of the earth and throwing us away and casting us away, but because of your love towards your people that you loved even before the foundation of the world, you sent your only begotten Son for them. And an everlasting, unconditional love cannot fail. And because of that today, we have our lives are different tonight. Our lives are altogether different. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. He's put a new want to in your life, a new love in your life. He's given you the fruit of the Spirit, faith and love, as He mentions here. He's worked in you what you couldn't have worked for yourself. I couldn't have worked it for you. Your wife couldn't work it for a husband. A husband couldn't work it for a wife. The preacher couldn't give it to you. The Sunday school teacher couldn't give it to you until God, by His power and by His wonderful grace, sent the Spirit of Almighty God into your heart. You were born from above, and all of a sudden, when that works, what a difference. He touched me, and now nothing is any longer the same. And that can happen to you, the young, and it happens in His time, and it can happen to the old. It can happen in the very early existence of a person's life, even in a mother's womb, a little babe leaped for joy. And it can happen in the very last minutes of life as a thief on the cross who never knew the Lord seemingly in his whole life was blessed of the Lord to see Jesus for who He was, and said, Father, remember, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus' words to him was not, oh boy, you've waited too long, you've waited too late, you've wasted away the hour of grace, and now there's no hope for you. You've just given a deathbed confession. I'm telling you, he acted upon that work of grace in his heart. When the Lord worked in his heart and did that for him which he could not do, he cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord's answer to him was, today, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Y'all believe in a paradise, don't you? Makes, you know, life here gets kind of rough sometimes. It's wonderful to know that one day all of this trouble is going to be over. And one day all of the aching bodies are going to stop aching. And one day the eyes that don't see too well are going to see clearly. The blind are going to see, the deaf are going to hear, the lame are going to leap. He calls them to do that here in this world. And He does in times bless us so wonderfully here in this world. But I'm telling you, there's a time coming where you won't have any more coffins, where you won't have any more death. Where death is swallowed up completely in victory, and will be made and fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And forever, body, soul, and spirit will be with the Lord, and all of God's children that He loved even before the foundation of the world will be with Him without the loss of one, because of what Jesus, the Son of God, did in dying for them. God the Father didn't have a weak plan. He had a wonderful purpose. And when He sent His only begotten Son into this world, Jesus, the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, had the power to give His life and take it up again. He had the power to die for His people. He knew them in covenant even before the foundation of the world. And He died for them, and He paid the sin debt for them. And without the loss of one, He secured their eternal salvation through His own shed blood, washing them whiter than snow, removing their sins from them as far as the east is from the west. You know, under the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, you read about the work of the high priest that he was called to do. And part of that work, and I'm not going to get all of that, but you can read about it in Leviticus 16. Part of that work was there was to be two goats, and that two goats represented the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he prayed as the high priest. He did many things, but he prayed over the goats, and he put the sins of the children of Israel upon the head of the goat, and then the goat was slain. The Lord's lot fell on the goat. The goat was slain, and then there was a second goat that was set out by a fit man into the wilderness, and the sins were put on that goat as well, and those sins were carried out into the wilderness, never to be remembered again. Sent that goat out living. You see, Jesus, he died. The scripture says that it's Christ that died. Who shall bring anything? In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, it says, who shall bring anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died, but he didn't leave it there, did it? He said, no, it's Christ that died, yea, rather, that's risen again. You see, not only was there a goat that died, there was one that didn't. And that represented the fullness of what Jesus did. See, he paid the sin debt when he died. But when he came forth victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave for every one of his children. And because he's a resurrected Savior, when we lose a loved one and we go to the graveside, we're going there, but we don't go as others who have no hope, because we believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And though that there seems to be a separation, and it seems so final in man's view, and by the way, if it wasn't for God's grace, we wouldn't have a clue. If it wasn't for God's grace, we'd have no answers for death. If it wasn't for God's grace, death would shake us to the core, because it seems like a finality. And there are many men who think that once you die, it's all over. But they can think what they want. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm telling you, the life that the Lord gives his children is eternal life. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're not sleeping in the ground somewhere. That soul and that spirit depart from the body and goes home to be with the Lord, and is immediately carried into the very presence of God. And that body goes back to the dust. Seems so final. You know, and men do everything they can to kind of preserve it, don't we? We just, you know, we fix it up, and you know, we try to make sure everything is, but I'm telling you, you can do what you want to it. That old body that was taken from the dust is going back to the dust. And it's going to return from whence it was taken. And I'm telling you, though, one day there's going to be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to be gathered together. I don't know, care where their dust is. He knows. Somebody said, how is he going to do that? The God who made this world out of nothing and hung it on nothing will have absolutely no trouble taking the dust that he created and bringing it back together. Not in the weak form that it was. It goes down mortal, but it's raised immortal. It goes down in weakness, but it's raised in power. It goes down a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. And there will be, and I don't know what all a spiritual body is like, but I know Jesus sat down and ate. I do know that. And he could walk right through a wall, but yet he could sit and eat food. He could hug. You could touch him. You could touch him. He said to Thomas, if you need to, Thomas, if you won't believe, Thomas, he said, if you need to, put your fingers in the holes in my hands and in my feet. If you need to put your hand in my side, go ahead, Thomas. Thomas cried out, Lord, Lord, I believe. I'm telling you, they handled him. They ate with him. What is it going to be like? It's going to be wonderful over there. Because of what Jesus. Do you think you have something tonight? Do I have something tonight? Did the Apostle Paul have something to thank God for? I'm telling you, Paul knew if God hadn't arrested him on the road to Damascus, he would have continued on that course of persecuting God's children and persecuting the Lord's people. It wasn't he who changed his mind and saw fit to go following the Lord. It was the Lord who came and arrested him. And he arrested him by his grace. And he said, you are a chosen vessel unto me. And tonight, brother, if you love the Lord, sister, if you love the Lord, you are a chosen vessel unto him. Because he got you out of the mess you were in, and he took you out of the miry clay, and he set your feet upon a rock, and he put a new song in your mouth, And all of it's come to you by the river of God's grace that flows out of the throne of God. And it goes into all places in this earth. And otherwise you and I would not. We got a lot of football games we could be watching tonight. We have a lot of things we could be doing somewhere else. Or be tied in this. And sometimes even God's little children get caught up in that. Hear me, little child of God. You have more to thank Him for than you'll ever get done in all eternity. Let's do everything we can here to thank Him. Every opportunity we have to be at the door of the house of God, we ought to take advantage of that. And we ought to be reminded again and again of how great things He has done for us. You think about it yourself. As I think about it tonight, I get overwhelmed. If it hadn't have been for Him, I'd have never loved Him. If it hadn't have been for what He did for me, I'd never care about Him. If it hadn't have been for Him, I'd have never darkened the door of an old Baptist church. I wouldn't have fellowship with you, dear ones. I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't have kinship with you. I wouldn't have brothers to pray for me when my knee hurts. And I wouldn't have those who cared about you. The world, you know what the world does when you can't help them anymore? They discard you. Jesus had never discarded one of His little sheep. He wasn't satisfied with 99, was He? He left them in the safety of the fold, and He went out and gathered that one little sheep that was caught up in the mountains and in the thorns and the thickets of this world. And when He found that little sheep, He picked him up and He put him on His shoulder and He brought him back. I'm telling you, Jesus did that for you. Where was that little sheep? That was me. That was you. That was the Apostle Paul. And Paul's saying that right here to young Timothy. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank Christ. Christ is the Messiah. One of the things the Apostle Paul got in so much trouble for is telling the Jews that what they had been preaching all this time was fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing he got in trouble for was telling them that what you were doing over in Leviticus in the Day of Atonement, year by year, never washed away any sins, but was done in remembrance of sin, but it pointed to the coming of the one who's now come. Let me tell you, Paul said, let me tell you, the one we've been talking about, the hope of Israel that we've been declaring down through the ages that God gave to us is fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know that tonight, I'll tell you, God's blessed you abundantly. If you're able to see that and understand that. You see, there are so many, even of God's children tonight, that are not settled with where their salvation is truly coming from. Some of them feel like it's them and the Lord that got it done. Some of them feel almost, it's like almost all me and the Lord did a little bit. Some of them think, well, He did all He could, but now I've got to do it. Some of them are depending on their good works, their church membership, their baptism, some other action. Is that's going to get the way? I'm telling you, there's only one way. There's only one truth and there's only one life. And that is the one we're to thank. It's not me and it's not the Lord and the preacher you thank, it's the Lord. You thank Him. And when he came to save His people from their sins, you see, He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's also Jesus. And Jesus isn't just any old word, any old name. You know, there's a song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something wonderful about that name. Over in the Old Testament, they call Him Wonderful. He is wonderful. He's the Counselor. Listen, He's your Counselor. He's the Mighty God. That's wonderful, isn't it? That He's the Mighty God. You see, there are many who say He's Jesus, but He's not the Mighty God. Listen, if He's not the Mighty God, He's not Jesus. The fact that He is Jesus is that He's the Mighty God. Because He was verily God, Emmanuel, God made manifest in the flesh. He had to come as God, and He had to come as man. He had to die as man to pay the sin debt for man. But He could only do what He did by the power of who He was, and that is verily God. Jesus was verily God, one with the Father. Thanks be to God. He's the Mighty God. He's also what? The Everlasting Father. That just settles it right there. And He's the Prince of Peace. If you don't have Him, you don't have true peace. Some people say, well, I got enough money, I got peace. I'm telling you how quick your money can go and how meaningless. Can you eat money? Can you eat that? Somebody said, well, if you have enough gold, you're pretty secure. I'm telling you, gold won't be worth much if there's no bread, there's no wheat. And if there's no water, If there's no water and there's no bread and there's no wheat, your gold won't mean anything. And you can have all the money in this world. There are many rich men today who would give it all for their health. Give it all so that they might feel a little better. I'm telling you, there is a peace that comes and passes understanding that will sustain you when your health goes. Because one day it'll go. It's going now, but one day it's going to go. But Jesus won't leave you. There's one day your eyesight will get worse, but Jesus won't leave you. There's one day that you'll have needs in this world, but He won't leave you. And listen, He will supply. And when you are weak, then He is strong. And I'm telling you that we have strength and power in our Lord. And He's the one who provides our daily bread. He provides the food on our table and the clothes that are on that's on our backs. He is the one who's given us every good thing. How could we not say tonight, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us? And he says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. I hope he's our Lord tonight. He said in one place, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? You see, sometimes people get the idea that when you preach about grace and God's grace and his salvation and what the Lord has done for us, that there is no responsibility on our part. And yet, there couldn't be anything farther from the truth. Now, there isn't any responsibility on our part in order to get into the grace of God. The grace comes unmerited. It's God's unmerited favor. God shows His grace upon us, not while we're doing what's right, but while we were yet His enemies. Christ died for the ungodly. But I'm telling you, God's grace works on the inside of His little children, causing them to want things. Somebody said, God's not going to make you do things that you don't... God won't force you to do things. I'll tell you what God does. He works on those who hate Him and give them a love for Him. He changes... Let's say it this way. He changes your want to. He changes your appetite. He'll change you where you desire. You'll find I need Him. Oh, listen, dear ones. If the love of God doesn't constrain you, you're in trouble. The love of God has an effect on you. If you're born of His Spirit, there's an effect that comes in your life. And the more you walk in that which He would have you to do, the more you'll find peace and rest and joy. And the more you fail to do that as His little children, the more you'll feel His chastisement. And you won't hear from Him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He will correct you. He will chasten you. And y'all know this already. You know this. You know when you've done something wrong. You don't have to have the preacher call you up and tell you you did it. You know when you're doing something that's in error. You don't have to have, you don't have to have somebody tell you about that. There's a spirit that works in the heart of his children. Now, should the preacher teach that? Absolutely. Should he reprove and exhort and rebuke? Absolutely. He should do it with all love and long suffering. But I'm telling you, the work of God is taking place in the hearts of his children. When the Lord dealt with the Apostle Paul, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He knew something was going on. God made himself manifest to him. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. I'll talk tonight a little bit about enabling. You know, there's bad kind of enabling that people do to one another, but this is the good kind of enabling. This is that which comes from the Lord. If a preacher is able to preach, it'll be the Lord who enabled him. If a member is able to be a faithful member, it'll be the Lord who enables him or her. If you're able to serve the Lord the way you ought to, it'll be by the Lord that he enabled you, that he gave you that strength. You know what he does? He works by his grace in you and gives you fruit. He works by his grace in you and gives you the ability to do what you could not do. I've known some brethren that you would thought never could be able to do this or that. And I've seen them do amazing things, haven't you? Haven't you seen how the Lord can work in their lives? Haven't you experienced that? Haven't you seen where you thought, how am I going to handle this? And how am I going to handle that? And you go to the Lord, and the Lord enabled you to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you could even ask or think. And the Apostle Paul said, It's Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. Now, if we read this, we could easily think that that meant the Lord looked at Paul and said, well, I think he'll be faithful, so I'll choose him. And I want you to know that wasn't the case. when the Apostle Paul was worked on by the Almighty God, he was a zealous Pharisee who was doing everything that he could to destroy the very name of Christ. And all those that would stand and preach Jesus Christ, he did anything he could to injure them. He did anything that he could to stop the very name of Christ. He was an enemy of the church and of Jesus Christ. And he did everything that he could and was out to do that. I'm telling you, the reason there was a change in the Apostle Paul is because the Lord put faith in him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And what happened in the Apostle Paul's life was not as his result of the Lord and his choosing the Lord. It was as a result of what the Lord did in choosing him. As a matter of fact, he said, "You're a chosen vessel unto me." And what's true for the Apostle Paul is true for every one of us tonight. If the Lord had just only done that for us because of what we were doing, well, none of us would have been acted on. The Lord would not have awakened us. But it's by His grace. He made, as He told the disciples, He says, "You haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you." He tells us in Ephesians that we were chosen in Him before the very foundation of the world. And that's His children. And He says, "Who hath enabled me, for He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." He made that persecutor a preacher. I remember a dear old brother one time telling us that if he said there was one thing he knew, I believe it was Brother Jackson. He said one thing he knew that if he ever grew up, he grew up in an old Baptist home, and he said he was drug here and drug there to so many churches. He said, "If there's anything I'll ever do," he said, "I'll never be an old primitive Baptist." And then I believe, if it's not him, it was another dear brother that said something similar. He said, "And then I decided for sure, the last thing," he said, "I would not be an old Baptist. And the last thing," he said, "I'd ever feel would be figure to be is an old Baptist preacher," you see. And his mind was just like that. The only thing was God had a different calling and a different purpose. And isn't it wonderful how God works? See, He can make you love things you once hated. He can make that pew that seems so hard and long and boring seem so soft. It may not be soft, but it'll make you endure through the preaching of the gospel to where you go like, "Preacher, don't stop. Please continue to talk about this Jesus. Please continue to tell me those things that allow me to see that He could have loved an old sinner like me, that He died for the poor and the halt and the maimed and the blind, because that describes me. Tell me that He could have a love. Could the Lord love somebody like me?" I'll tell you, He showed us a love for the Apostle Paul to show us that He could love His people no matter where they were and what kind of mess they were in. He loved a thief on the cross and proved it in bringing him home to glory. And you see, as a little 9-year-old boy, He worked in my heart and allowed me to see things I could have never seen without Him. All church did for me was just bore me until the Lord opened that eye, opened my eye. And then I became very concerned about eternal things. And it was a long time before the Lord really allowed me to see in fullness. Even as a little boy, I was hoping in some degree that my salvation was in Him, but I felt there was something I needed to do. And so I continued to labor in that for a long time. Never with peace, but I continued to labor. Almost got to the point where I just said, "Well, what's the use? I must be destined to be apostate," and figure there was no hope for me. And then the Lord blessed me by His grace to hear a sound, old, faithful, primitive Baptist preacher declare Jesus Christ and Him crucified and how salvation was not in what me and the Lord did, but is in entirely what the Lord did. That when Jesus died on the cross, He had me in mind and He had every one of His children in mind. And what He did there, He didn't try to do. He did it and finished it and accomplished it. And the work's been done, and you can't add to it and you can't take from it. And I rested in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a peace that I never had flooded my soul. And I enjoyed a salvation, not an eternal salvation, but a timely salvation, a temporal salvation, if you will, of peace and joy. My eternal salvation was already secure. Y'all believe that, don't you? that the eternal salvation of every one of God's children is already secure. That when Jesus died on the cross, He knew for whom He would die, and that payment was sufficient to wash away their sins. Every sin they'd ever commit, as far as the east is from the west, and no matter what, He'll not lose one of them. You see, the foundation of God doesn't stand unsure. It stands sure, and it has a seal. And this is the seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows right where they are, and He knows where to find them. He didn't walk by the tree, look up in it and say, "Hey, little fellow, what's your name?" He said, "Zacchaeus, come down." He didn't go down to the Matthew and wonder who Matthew was and try to convince him. He said, "Come, follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. He left the job, that which he was doing as a tax collector, left it. Changed his life immediately. That's how he works. And I'm telling you, he came to where Lydia was praying. The Apostle Paul to where Lydia was praying, where prayer was ought to be made. And that was wonderful fellowship that was there. But I'm telling you, Paul didn't bring the Lord to Lydia. Lydia already had a heart that was prepared of the Lord, or she wouldn't have wanted to see the Apostle Paul. It takes the Lord to prepare the heart and the mind. He has to open your eyes. And when He's opened them, you can see. And until He's opened them, you can't see. And you can't hear. And you won't see. And you won't hear. But once God has opened your mind and your heart and given you life. Now listen, brethren. Let's not close our eyes. Let's not shut our eyes. Let's walk with our eyes wide open. And what does that mean? That means looking unto Jesus, who is the what? The author and the finisher of our faith. And that's how the Lord counted the Apostle Paul faithful. You know how He counted him faithful? He gave him faith. And he was the author of his faith. And guess what? He not only was the author of it, he was the finisher of it. And as the Apostle Paul kept his eyes on the Lord was faithful to him. Great is thy faithfulness. And he supplied what he needed. Even when he was persecuted, even when he was beaten, even when he was scourged, even when he gave his very life for the cause, God did not forsake him. And the Apostle Paul was carried out of this old troubled world, maybe died a very tragic, according to history, a very tragic death, and suffered great at the hands of the persecutors. But I'm telling you, the Lord was with him in every step of the way. He said, "When I am weak, then am I strong." He said, "He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. I know you're familiar with this language. The Apostle Paul is speaking there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He's speaking there about his sufficiency and about how it is that he's able to stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." You know what's wonderful about the Lord tonight? His grace is sufficient for us. I don't know what you're going through, but I know the Lord knows. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow, what I'm going to face tomorrow, but I know the Lord knows. You know what I do know? That tonight, His grace is sufficient for you. And His grace is sufficient for me. You know what else I know? Tomorrow, His grace is going to be sufficient for you. And His grace is going to be sufficient for me. You know what I know also? That even all the way through my life, every day, every hour, every moment, every trouble, every mountaintop, every valley, His grace is going to be sufficient for me. Because that one who was Paul's sufficiency is our sufficiency. And I'm telling you, whatever we need, we'll find it in Him. Y'all believe that? I want you to believe it more. I want to believe it. I want to embrace that. Don't let the old nature. You know, old nature and doubts and fears can rise up in us. And we need to keep that old man under submission and trust more. And the preaching of the gospel encourages us to trust Him more. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." You know who said that? The one who changes not. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the one who said that is the one called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the one who says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. He's the one who says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the one who is our everything. He is the Lord who is my shepherd. And because of Him I shall not want. You know why? Because His grace is sufficient for me. And He says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you may feel like this, and I feel like this so often. I feel so weak. I come to church and I say, what am I going to tell this people that I'm standing before that need to have the preaching of the gospel declared to them that they might have peace and rest and see. And I need the Lord to bless me, and I feel weak. And I look to Him. When I look to Him, then am I going to be strong. But listen, if I ever think I got it in myself, y'all in trouble. I'm in trouble and y'all in trouble. And nothing worse than a preacher who thinks he's got it all in himself. He'll feed the sheep the wrong food and make them all sick and scatter the flock. He'll cause heartache. He'll be a hireling and preach to be to feed his own self and to take care of his own self naturally. Listen, but that little under shepherd that's trusting in the Lord, who realizes I don't have a thing if God doesn't give it to me. And the church that recognizes that preacher doesn't have a thing. I know that old boy. He doesn't have a thing unless God gives it to him. And then when they are praying for him and God lifts him up, that's what they had when they had the Apostle Paul. You know, Ananias had heard so much about Paul that when the Lord says, I'm sending Paul to you, Ananias said, I don't want to see Paul because I've heard some bad things about him. And yet he was the one that the apostles, that the Lord said, I'm sending you Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias said, please don't. He said, behold, he prayeth. That didn't help him at all. He said, please don't. He said, but he's a chosen vessel unto me. And when Ananias came and preached to the Apostle Paul, his eyes were open, and before he fed him, he baptized him. That's how much of a Baptist he was. That's all right, brother. He baptized him before he fed him. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the revelation, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Time's gone. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'm telling you, that's a happy preacher. And that's where you and I are going to find our happiness. It's not going to be when we get over reproaches, or when we get over infirmities, or when we get over distresses, for Christ's sake. Sometimes we think, well, if I didn't have all these things, I'd be better off. Listen, I'm telling you, those things will bring you to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're where Mary was, you're in a good place. You've chosen that good part that won't be taken away from you. And He will sustain you no matter what, and your strength will be in Him. He says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I'm going to give you one more verse over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Paul was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but he obtained mercy. Tonight, if we're going to be anything before God, we're going to need that same mercy, aren't we? I need His mercy. And I don't just need it for the past. I need it for tonight. I need it for this moment. Because you see, the Apostle Paul said, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. I love this. How much grace? Exceeding abundant grace. And what did He give? Faith. If you have faith tonight, how did it come? It came by grace. If you have love for God tonight, how did it come? It came by grace. And it came from Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ. And then he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Please notice, he didn't say of whom I used to be chief. He's recognizing right now, this moment, as he wrote this, that I am as in much need of His mercy and grace as I've ever been. that though I used to be all these things, and that burden is hard, and I'm not those things anymore. He had had change in his life. He wasn't anymore a blasphemer or a persecutor or injurious. But he still understood there's enough wrong with me right now that if you look at me right now, I'm still the chief of all sinners. You see, sometimes you and I think, well, I used to be all that, but now I've got it on track, and I'm on track. I'll tell you, that's going to be a cold house of worship where people come that way. Because they feel rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. And they've forgotten that they're poor and miserable and blind and naked. You see, without him tonight, we're still just where the Apostle Paul was, and this is where every one of us are. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Those that he came to save, do you believe he saved them? I do. Do you believe he knew who they were? I do. Do you believe his blood was sufficient for paying that sin debt? I do. And do you believe all of them that were sinners are no longer sinners in this sense? He's washed their sins away, just like that goat was let loose in the wilderness by the hand of a fit man to be carried out into the wilderness, never to be brought up again. That picture was of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would do and removing our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He said, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, in Jesus, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now under the King, oh, get this, he is the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, that's who we serve. The only wise God, that's Jesus, the only wise God. Yes, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Be honor and glory, how long? Forever and ever. And we close with amen. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you. Did you ever get her? Bless her, sweetheart.